Good day and welcome to the Mitchell Reports First Half 2016 Financial Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time I would like to turn the conference over to the company. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good day, everyone. I would like to welcome you to Mitchell's conference call to discuss our first half 2016 results, which we reported today. With us from management today are Mr. Oleg Koržov, Mitchell's CEO, and Mr. Sergey Rezontov, Mitchell's CFO. After management has made their formal remarks, we will take your questions to the presentation team. Please note that during this call, management will make forward-looking statements, some of which may have been made in the press release. Some of the information in this conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future financial performance of Mitchell, as defined in the safe harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements. We refer you to the documents Mitchell files from time to time with the United States Securities and Exchange Commission, which contain and identify important factors that could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements. In addition, we will be using non-IFRS financial measures, including EBITDA, in our discussions today. Reconciliations of non-IFRS financial measures to the most directly comparable financial measures are contained in the earnings press release, which is available on our website at www.mitchell.com. At this point, I would like to turn the call over to Mitchell CEO, Mr. Koržov. Please go ahead.
Добрый день, уважаемые дамы и господа. Мы рады приветствовать вас на конференц-звонке, посвященном итогам деятельности компании Mitchell в первом полугодии 2016 года.
Good afternoon and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We are glad to welcome you to the conference call for the company's financial results of the first half of 2016.
В начале доклада я бы хотел поблагодарить всех, кто поздравил нашу компанию с нашим профессиональным праздником Днем Шахтера, который был вчера. Спасибо всем большое. Ну и далее я бы хотел перейти непосредственно к итогам деятельности нашей компании в первом полугодии 2016 года.
First of all, I would like to thank everyone who congratulated our company with our professional holiday, which took part yesterday, the miners' day. And further, I would like to turn further to our report.
Консолидированная выручка группы Mitchell за первое полугодие составила 130 миллиардов рублей. Консолидированный показатель EBITDA почти 26 миллиардов рублей.
Mitchell's consolidated revenue over the first half of this year totaled 130 billion rubles, with consolidated EBITDA at nearly 26 billion rubles.
Хотел бы начать с краткого обзора изменений на рынках нашей продукции в прошедшем полугодии. В 2016 году мы вошли при минимальных уровнях цен как на уголь, так и на продукцию нашего стального дивизиона, но уже в первом квартале наметились положительные тенденции. Рост цен на стальную продукцию на внутреннем и экспортных рынках Китая неизбежно повлек за собой повышение цен на других рынках, в том числе и российском, который является основным для нашего стального дивизиона. С началом строительного сезона рост цен ускорился, и в мае цены достигли своих пиковых значений. Далее в течение лета цены корректировались, тем не менее оставаясь выше уровня, с которых начинали год.
I would like to start with a quick assessment of changes on our markets in the past half a year. This year began with minimal prices both for coal and for our steel division's products, but positive trends began to form as early as in the first quarter. The growth of prices for steel products on China's domestic and export markets inevitably prompted a hike in prices on other markets, including the Russian one, which is key to our steel division. As the construction period set in, this growth accelerated, with prices reaching their peak in May. Throughout summer, prices became adjusted downwards, but nevertheless remained higher, as they have been in the year's beginning.
Рынок коксующегося угля в первом полугодии также показал положительную динамику. Первым заметным сигналом улучшения стало повышение контрактных цен на коксующийся уголь на второй квартал с 81 доллара на тонну до 84. Это был первый рост контрактных цен на квартал за несколько лет. Ну и после некоторого ослабления тренда в мае рост спотовых котировок продолжился с новой силой. Контрактные цены на третий квартал зафиксировались на уровне $92, что уже на 10% выше цен второго квартала. Спотовые цены на коксующийся уголь из Австралии уже достигли порядка $132 США, то есть фактически приблизились к уровню начала 2014 года. Высока вероятность, что контрактация на четвертый квартал тоже пройдет с повышением, но в настоящий момент мы уже начали подписывать договоры с зарубежными потребителями по новым, более высоким уровням цен.
The coking coal market also demonstrated positive dynamics in the first half year. The rise of contract prices for coking coal in the second quarter from $81 per ton to $84 became the first important signal of this improvement. This was the first growth of quarterly contracted prices had been over the past few years. After a brief weakening in the trend in May, spot prices resumed their growth with newfound vigor, and contract prices for the third quarter were set at $92, which is some 10% higher than the second quarter prices. Recently, spot prices for Australian coking coal reached $132, practically reaching the level of early 2014. As such, there is a strong chance that contract prices for the fourth quarter will also go up. We have already begun signing contracts with our foreign consumers for new higher prices.
Что касается операционной деятельности, то в первом полугодии 2016 года мы сохранили стабильные объемы производства по сравнению с аналогичным периодом прошлого года. Небольшой рост был достигнут по объемам добычи угля. Объемы реализации основных видов нашей продукции удалось нарастить. Объемы реализации концентрата коксующегося угля выросли на 10%. Объемы реализации энергетического угля поднялись на 18% по отношению к аналогичному периоду прошлого года. Ну и объемы продаж длинного и плоского проката выросли на 10,7% соответственно.
As for the group's operations, in the first half of 2016, we retained stable production levels as compared year on year. There was a small increase in coal production. We managed to increase sales of all our key products. Coking coal concentrate sales went up by 10%. Steam coal sales are up 18% year on year. Sales of long and flat rolls, long products, went up by 10% and 7% accordingly.
Свой вклад в этот рост внесли наши основные инвестиционные проекты. Эльгинский угольный комплекс продолжает наращивать объемы производства, в том числе растет доля коксующегося угля в общем объеме добычи, что нас безусловно радует. Но если Эльга, добыв в 2015 году почти 4 миллиона тонн, стала прорывом прошлого года, то в этом году себя проявляет универсальный рыбалочный стан на Челябинском металлургическом комбинате. Благодаря тому, что с января 2016 года мы начали поставки рельсов российским железным дорогам, универсальный рельсобалочный стан в разы увеличил объемы производства. Начав с объема поставок около 8 тысяч тонн в январе, в июле мы отгрузили на РЖД уже более 24 тысяч тонн 100-метровых рельсов. Объем поставок рельсов за первое полугодие составил почти 100 тысяч тонн, а всего в этом году мы поставим только РЖД порядка 250 тысяч тонн высококачественных рельсов. Ожидаем, что в следующем году этот объем вырастет, так как стан, кроме 100-метровых рельсов для РЖД, производит еще рельсы и для других потребителей, а также иные виды фасонного проката. Мы в этом году выйдем на ежемесячный уровень загрузки стана порядка 60%.
Our key investment projects made their contribution to this growth. Elga Coal Complex continues to increase its mining volumes, with the share of coking coal in overall volumes also on the increase, which makes us happy. But if Elga, which in 2015 yielded nearly 4 million tons, became our last year's breakthrough, this year Chelyabinsk Metallurgical Plant's universal rolling mill has proved itself. Thanks to the fact that since January 2016 we have started supplying Russian railways with our rails, the universal rolling mill has increased its production volumes significantly. Starting with supplies of some 8,000 tons in January, in July we have shipped over 24,000 tons of 100-meter-long rails to Russian railways. The overall supply volume of rails in the first half of this year totaled nearly 100,000 tons, and we expect to ship a total of some 250,000 tons of high-quality rails to Russian railways this year. We also expect that this amount will be increasing next year. As the mill produces rails for other customers also, as well as other types of structural shapes, this year the mill's load can reach 60% on monthly basis.
Портпосет продемонстрировал существенное увеличение показателей. После модернизации объемов перевалки в порту, перевалка в порту выросла примерно где-то на 50% по отношению к первой половине 2015 года. И за первое полугодие порт уже перевалил более 3,5 миллионов тонн угля. Кроме того, порт начал перевалку продукции сторонних производителей, генерируя при этом дополнительную прибыль. Объем перевалки стороннего угля в отчетном периоде составил порядка 10% от общего объема грузов, переработанных портом, и эта доля она постепенно увеличивается.
Port Pasir demonstrated a significant improvement in its results. After modernization was completed, the port transshipment volumes grew by some 50% year on year, and in the first half of 2016, the port transshipped over 3.5 million tons of coal. The port also began transshipping cargoes for third parties, which generated additional profit for the group. Third-party coal in this period accounted for 10% of all cargo processed by the port, and this share will be increasing.
За первую половину года мы проделали большой объем работы над нашим долговым портфелем. Завершена реструктуризация долга перед нашими крупнейшими кредиторами. Это Сбербанк, Газпромбанк и ВТБ. Затем мы реструктурировали обязательства по облигациям. У нас закрылась сделка по продаже 49% Эльгинского комплекса Газпромбанку. Ну и вырученные от продажи средства позволили почти на 33 миллиарда рублей сократить наш долг и снизить показатель чистый долг к EBITDA. EBITDA где-то с 11 до 9,5.
In the first half of this year, we made significant progress in working on our debt portfolio. We have completed the restructuring of our debt to our major lenders, Sberbank, Gazprombank and VTB. We restructured our bond obligations and closed our deal on selling 49% of Elga complex to Gazprombank. The cash we received from this deal enabled us to reduce our debt by nearly 33 billion rubles and bring our net debt to EBITDA ratio down from 11 to 9.5.
Таким образом, группа успешно отработала первые 6 месяцев 2016 года, сохранив стабильные объемы производства, что достаточно важно, и выручки, увеличив рентабельность и сократив долговую нагрузку. Ну а теперь я бы хотел передать слово нашему финансовому директору Сергею Резонтову, который, как всегда, более подробно расскажет о финансовых результатах компании. Спасибо большое.
Thus, the group has worked successfully over the first 6 months of 2016, retaining stable production levels and revenue, increasing profit margin and decreasing debt. And now I would like to give the floor to our Chief Financial Officer, Sergei Rezontov, who will give details on the financial results of all of our business segments. Thank you for your attention.
Good morning, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, we will focus on financial results of mining segment. The unprecedented turbulence in the commodity markets we witnessed in the fourth quarter 2015 and first quarter 2016 has affected the results of the mining segment. At the end of the last year and the beginning of this year, we saw the lowest benchmarks and spot prices from the coking coal in the past 11 years, which lowest point at the level of $75. There was a slight recovery in the benchmarks to 84 in the second quarter of 2016. During the first half of 2016, overall revenue amounted to 40.1 billion rubles, which showed decrease by 7% compared with first half 2015 as a result of two major factors. Firstly, lower average sales prices, which was not compensated by an increase of sales volumes for coking coal by 10% and steam coal by 18%. And secondly, the group's strategy to replace purchase of coals from the third parties with its own production, including Elga coal project. Close control for the operations supports lowest level of average cash cost in open pit mines of Yekutugul and Elga at a level of $20 per ton. Strong demand from Asian market remains the key for the group's coal sales, with an increase of its market share from 46 to 51%, half on half. Domestic sales increased due to the replacement of purchase of coal products from third parties. Our sales to European market mostly consist of sales of anthracite and coke. The ability of the group to increase production and sales volumes should support better financial results going forward, especially taking into account current spot for coking coal at a level of $131.6 per ton. 100% of our iron ore production was dedicated to internal consumption. For the quarter, the combined effect of lower revenue and volumes of external sales, together with the decreased cost of sales, drove the EBITDA to 14.4 billion rubles, which is 10% above previous year. Market recovery and prices growth in the steel industry started earlier than in coal market in March. Average increase in sales volumes amounted to 4.8%, including 7% increase for flat products and 10% for long products. These two factors supported the significant increase of revenues in steel segment of the group up to 78 billion, which is 5.5% higher half-on-half basis. 83% of sales from Russian steel plants are dedicated for domestic market. Sales volumes of the domestic market are constantly increasing with implementation of a new product mix strategy. The group didn't increase total crude steel production, but concentrated on larger volumes of higher margin steel products. This major effect comes from the increase in production at the Universal Mill, which has produced during the first 6 months of the year 121,000 tons of rails, including 99,000 for Russian railways, and 92 tons of beams. Most of European sales comes from the distribution business of Metal Service Global through its warehouse, which demonstrated today stable operations and profits after a consideration of the distribution strategy and increased purchase of steel from the local producers. Further utilization of capacities from the Universal Mill project will support an increase of the production of high-margin products. Production costs for almost all product range remain stable. Increase of sales revenue correlated with the increase of costs, which led to stable level of EBITDA at a level of 9.5 billion rubles. Despite volatile pricing environment with a general downward trend in third quarter 2016, we hope that the cost efficiency program and new product mix will support stable financial results of the steel segment. Power segment's performance achieved a 15% increase in gross profit up to 6.8 billion and 42% increase in operation profit to 1.3 billion and EBITDA increased 1.5 times to the level of 2.0 billion rubles. The main drivers for the improved operation results were decreased costs after completion of the modernization program as well as favorable market conditions for sale prices, increased by 36% in second quarter 2016 compared with the second quarter 2015. On a consolidated basis, the revenue remained stable at a level of 130 billion rubles as the fall in the mining segment was compensated with the increase in steel and power segment's revenue. The gross income increased by 9% to 58 billion with a gross margin ending up at 45% of the revenue. The commercial expenses were up 6% entirely due to the increase in transportation tariffs and the change basis of the delivery for our steel products. We have increased volumes of deliveries of our products to our final customers using our own transportation. The net interest expenses, net from the fines and penalties on overdue loans and borrowings and fines finance lease payment grew by 15% to 25.2 billion. This was mostly due to an increase in the average rate of borrowings in USD due to the increase of the LIBOR rate, while the level of central bank rate was decreased to 10.5%, but only in the middle of June 2016. Interest income of 3.8 billion is the result of write-off of fines and penalties on overdue loans and borrowings and finance lease after the completion of the restructuring with Sberbank. The positive FX effect of 7 billion rubles, which is the result of the revaluation of USD and euro-denominated debt. As a result of all above-mentioned factors, group's net income for 6 months 2016 amounts to 8.3 billion rubles. Let's now turn to the cash flow statements. I am proud to say that our efforts aimed at improving the business cash generation capability continued to pay off the half-on-half basis. The reported period is usually marked by an accumulation of stocks of raw materials for an increase of sales in summer period. This year, both steel and coal markets started with very weak prices. Therefore, the group was focused on accumulating materials and increased sales immediately when the market growth started. As a result of this strategy, the cash flow from operation totaled 19.3 billion for first half 2016, which is lower by 5.5 billion than the previous year. Accumulated cash was enough to cover group's interest and capital expenditures amounting to 7.4 billion and 1 billion ruble respectively. With the completion of transaction with Gazprom Bank for sale of 49% in the Elga coal deposit for 34.3 billion, the group used these proceeds to repay the debts with Sberbank for 31.5 billion and current and overdue interest for amount 2.8 billion. The net debt reduction from the beginning of the year totaled 41.9 billion as a result of partial repayment of the debt and regulation, which we regard as a great achievement in the year of volatile markets. Through this period, we finalized debt restructuring with the Russian state banks, other lenders, as well as completed restructuring of the ruble-denominated bonds, with extension of the repayment for 5 years with a quarterly amortization. Restructuring with the Russian state banks assumes two options for repayment schedule, either from first quarter 2017 until first quarter 2020, or starting from first quarter 2020 until first quarter 2022. Gazprom Bank and Sberbank have supported long-term restructuring by 2022, but one of the conditions for achievement of similar terms with VTB by the end of 2016. We have held fruitful discussion with the bank on this subject and hope that they will be finalized during the indicated period. We continue our dialogue with the syndicate of the international lenders on the restructuring terms and will provide the information publicly as soon as they are finalized. Overall, ladies and gentlemen, the first half of this year has brought positive dynamics in the group financial results despite of all challenges we faced in the beginning of the year. The volatility in our commodity markets, both in the mining and steel segments, with the recovery in the second quarter supported by increase of the coking coal and steam coal sales, reflecting improvement on our major markets. Growth of steel segment sales to take advantage of high pricing and favorable markets. Increase in operation profits, EBITDA and EBITDA margin. Two-thirds of operation profits has been earned by the group right in the second quarter, which should be an indicator for future periods. Adjustment of our working capital translated into significant efficiency improvement. At the same time, the efforts we have been undertaking since the last year to make the restructuring of our debts in order to align our cash flow with the payment obligation of our debts was successfully completed with major of our lenders. Looking ahead, I can say that after the turbulent market environment and very challenging dialogue with our creditors, the group should now focus on further improvement of its operations, decrease of cost of borrowings, and also on return on the realized investment projects, Elga Coal Complex and Universal Mill. Thank you for your attention, ladies and gentlemen. The management now is ready to take your questions.
Thank you. Hi. We will now take questions. We would ask that participants please state their name and company before asking their question and allow some time after for translation.
Thank you. We will now take our first question from Oleg Pagovsky from BCS. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Such a good pronunciation. Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for the presentation. Oleg Tropalsky from BCS. Just one question from me. In the first half, you invested less than $1 billion of dollars into your operations. We are wondering how the company of such scale may live with such low capex, and what are your projections for 2016 as a full year? Thank you.
У нас первый вопрос от Олега Петропавловского из БКС. Он касается того, что за первый полугодие 2016 года мы показали объем капитальных затрат меньше 1 миллиарда рублей. И, соответственно, вопрос, как такая большая компания может работать с таким низким уровнем капитальных затрат и какой наш прогноз по капитальным затратам до конца 2016 года. На этот вопрос ответит Сергей Резонт, финансовый директор.
Олег, вы абсолютно правильно заметили, что в соответствии с финансовой отчетностью объем капитальных затрат отражен на уровне около 1 миллиарда рублей. Но при этом, если смотреть на результаты деятельности группы по российским стандартам, то объем инвестиционных затрат составляет 1,7 миллиарда рублей, а объем затрат на поддержание около 870 миллионов рублей. Разница заключается в применяемых принципах учета соответствующих капитальных затрат. Now I'll translate the answer on the question in English. As was correctly mentioned, the total amount of capital expenditures in accordance with the IFRS accounts amount to approximately 1 billion ruble. But if you will take the management accounts in accordance with the Russian accounting standards, the capital expenditures on the investment projects amounted to 1.7 billion rubles and maintenance capex amounted to 870 million, which is the difference comes from the difference in the accounting standards between the Russian accounts and the IFRS.
Так все-таки, какой объем, какой объем инвестиций по ИФРС мы увидим за 2016 год? Я не знаю, какой язык выбрать, какой удобный.
So the question is, what will be the volume of capital expenditures by IFRS for the full 2016 year?
Ну, давайте проще. По российским стандартам мы ожидаем, что общий объем инвестиций составит порядка 5 миллиардов рублей.
In accordance with the Russian standards, we expect that the total amount of the capital expenditures for the year will amount to 5 billion ruble. Понятно. Спасибо большое.
Next question, please.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Barry Ehrlich from Citigroup. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, hello. It's Barry Ehrlich from Citi. Thank you for the presentation and taking questions. The interest expense in the income statement during the period was 29.8 billion rubles. The cash interest paid in the cash flow statement was 17.2 billion. My first question was whether I correctly understood that the difference between these two figures is the accrued interest. The second question is, you state in slide 14 that you expect the average paid interest rate with peak, which I guess is the accruals, to be 7.7% going forward. So does that mean that the income statement interest will fall significantly going forward to a level of around 17.5 billion? Did I understand that correctly? So if you can take that question, and then I also have another question. Thank you.
Then I'll translate the question into Russian. Вопрос заключался в том, что в финансовой отчетности указаны объемы начисленных процентов в размере 29,8 миллиардов, в то время как объемы выплаченных процентов составляют 17,2 миллиарда. Просьба пояснить, в чем разница. Также на слайде 14 презентации указано, что средняя ставка начислений процентов составит порядка 7,7%, как при этом изменится объем начислений и выплат процентов в последующие периоды.
Now I'll try to answer your question in English. You're correctly mentioning that 29.8 billion is the accrued interest, which includes the current interest plus the peak, plus the fines for the and penalties on the overdue loans and borrowings which came from the banks. And you're correctly saying that 17.2 billion is the cash payment which has been done by the group for service the debt during this period. But you also should take into account that from this 7.2 billion, amount of approximately 2-3 billion is the amount of the overdue interest which was paid exactly in the first half following the completion of the restructuring out of the proceeds of the sale of Elga, which I have mentioned in my speech. In the on the second question, you mentioned that on the slide 14, you see that the average rate which we indicate is 7.7. This is exactly the cash payment which the company will do for the debt after the completion of the restructuring. And the average interest rate is
10.3, this is the average rate of the whole portfolio, and the difference is the capital will be the capitalized interest. По-русски перевод. 29,8 миллиарда – это накопленные проценты за текущий, за указанный период, который состоят из трех основных составляющих. Это текущие проценты за период, это капитализированные проценты, а также штрафы, которые были начислены по кредитам. А сумма в размере 17 миллиардов – это текущие проценты, которые были оплачены компанией денежными средствами. Из 17 миллиардов также состоят из нескольких составляющих. Это сумма, это текущие проценты в размере порядка 15 миллиардов. И сумма порядка 2-3 миллиардов – это просроченные проценты, которые были выплачены по окончании реструктуризации с Газпромбанком из средств, полученных от реализации ЭГИ. Таким образом, сумма выплаченных процентов также в этом периоде увеличена за счет погашения данных просроченных процентов. На слайде 14 указаны приблизительные процентные ставки, которые мы рассчитываем по кредитному портфелю из двух составляющих. 10,3 – это процентная, средняя процентная ставка по всему портфелю, которая начисляется на долг, а 7,7 – это средняя процентная ставка, которая выплачивается. Соответственно, разница между 10,3 и 7,7 – это капитализируемые проценты.
Thank you. So I also have two additional questions, if I may. First, the cash flows that are shown to DEMP that are continuing in the first half of this year, those are actual cash flows out of the group, my question, and for how much, how many further periods do you expect those to continue? Also, we can see that there was an expansion in receivables during the period. It was considerable. Was that related to Russian Railways, or what was the reason for that expansion? Thank you.
Первый вопрос касался денежных потоков, которые отражены в финансовой отчетности. В финансовой отчетности отражены платежи, которые осуществляла группа за приобретение ДЭМЗа за отчетный период. Вопрос заключается, сколько еще периодов будут осуществляться выплаты данных процентов. Также вопрос в отношении баланса. В балансе указано, что произошло увеличение дебиторской задолженности. Какие были причины, связанные с увеличением дебиторской задолженности? Связаны были это увеличение дебиторской задолженности с поставками в пользу российских железных дорог. В рамках наших соглашений текущих о платежи за ДЭМС должны быть завершены до конца 2018 года. Увеличение дебиторской задолженности связано с сезонным фактором отгрузки и реализации продукции. При этом данное увеличение не связано с отгрузками на РЖД. В рамках контракта с РЖД существует отсрочка платежа, но данные суммы не столь значительны, не столь существенны. With regard to the questions which have been received, the amount which is indicated in the financial statements with regard to the DEMS payment is correctly pointed out, and the payment shall be done by the end of 2018. With regard to the balance sheet statements, the increase of the debtor obligations is a result of a seasonable factor which has been influenced by the market conditions. This increase is not linked to the sales and the supply to the Russian railways. The Russian railways has a deferred payment terms for the supplied rails, but the amounts are not so substantial.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. That's star 1 to ask a question. There are currently no questions in the queue at this time. I will turn the call back to your host. Pardon the interruption. We do have one question. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Добрый день, это Анатолий.
The caller seems to have stepped away. There are now currently no questions in the queue.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for taking the time to join Mitchell's first half 2016 financial results conference call today. The replay of the call will be available at Mitchell's website. If you have any further questions, please contact the Investor Relations Office. Thank you again from all the team here.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That will conclude today's call. You may now all disconnect.